listening to 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, broadcasting from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
It is 12:33 in Beaver Dam. You are listening to Community Comment. Here's our host,
Kevin Haugen.
He was
born in the summer of his 27th year.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon. Welcome into today's Community Comment. Again, I'm your host, Kevin Haugen. It's my pleasure to welcome into our Daily Dodge TV studio this afternoon the superintendent of the Columbus School District. It's my pleasure to welcome into the conversation this afternoon, Jake Flood. Jake, thank you so much for coming in this afternoon.
No, Kevin, thanks for having us on. Additionally, you guys have provided great coverage for us in Columbus School District, whether it be co-curriculars or even other groups on this program. So we just appreciate the coverage. You reach a different audience that we don't always be able to hit at the school level. So thanks.
Absolutely. I know it's always great to be able to cover all the communities in our area. I know the sports is a big thing, too, that Wade Bates, our sports director here, does a great job with making sure all those teams are covered and all the exciting things that are happening at the collegiate or the athletic level there at the schools there. So, again, our guest here on Community Comment today, Columbus School District Superintendent Jake Flood. There is obviously a very important topic that we are here to discuss this afternoon, and we have had other districts in to talk about the same thing, and that is an operational referendum that is going to be on the spring ballot just a couple of weeks away now, a little over a month out here from the April 1st general election here. But before we dive in, Jake, to the specifics about this referendum, you've been on this program before. It's been a little bit. It's new as well for you in this the Daily Dodge TV studio, but with you back in here and coming in to discuss this referendum, I want to take this opportunity just to give us a little bit of background about yourself. We talked a little bit about that before coming on air today, but I just want to give you the opportunity to share with our listeners and our viewers just your career history and how you wound up at the Columbus School District.
Sure. I'm currently in my third year in the Columbus School District as the superintendent. What I can say about Columbus, very proud to be there, very supportive community. The best compliment I can give is the community and the board has been exactly who they said they were going to be when I interviewed. There's not a better compliment than that. Prior to my time in Columbus, I spent some time in the Kewaskum School District as a principal and a director. Additionally, a year in Waupun as a principal. And then I taught in Lamira and coached in Lamira for about 8 years. Prior to that, started my career in Beloit. So outside of Beloit, I've kind of made the rounds of the listing area. Yeah. Great area to live and work in.
Fantastic. So it's, again, been 3 years, you mentioned, with the Columbus School District. Is this the first time with Columbus that you've gone down this path of a referendum? Has there been any operational referendums in your time there or facility referendums? Has that happened before? Or is this the first time in your tenure there that this is going to happen?
Excellent question. There was a capital referendum just before my time. In 2020, the voters passed a capital referendum. We had some awesome upgrades to what is our high school and our elementary school. That finished up in 2022, right as I arrived. So walked into these beautiful facilities. It was one of the things I definitely noticed that we had a community that supported our schools. So that was awesome. As far as operational referendum, by far the first time that we've ever been down this route. And this definitely wasn't taken lightly to bring this to the voters.
Yeah, and it's something that just not Columbus School District is having to face in this current market right now. A lot of other local school districts, as we just had Waupun on yesterday, had Randolph School District on a bit over a week ago. We'll talk with the folks from Dodgeland School District, which we'll have to also go to pose a operational referendum to their voters. They'll be on next week, I believe, on Community Comment to discuss that. But Jake, you bring up an interesting point. Now, there essentially are two different types of referendums that the voters could see. One is the capital referendum, as you mentioned, that had been approved before you came into the role as superintendent. And then there's the operational referendum. I will I'm sure you could probably do a better job than I could explaining what that is. But just sort of speak to just briefly before we kind of talk about the history and what led Columbus to get to this point here. But just kind of what is a operational referendum?
Yeah, the easiest way to describe an operational referendum is the day-to-day operations, to support the day-to-day operations, maintain and sustain and continue. We're not looking to add anything on. If you're thinking about a capital referendum, think about bigger building projects. And that's how we differentiate the two. When we go down the path of operational referendum, there's two types of operational referendum, recurring and non-recurring. I know you had Brian on last week, and he spoke to the same point. We weighed very heavily in our district what made sense for us, a non-recurring or a recurring referendum. Recurring would just continue on the tax base till the end of time without ever coming back. We decided what was best for us was a non-recurring, which means there's an end period, which in our case is 4 years.
So, Jake, looking back at the last couple of months, maybe even years now, obviously, again, these decisions to go to a referendum are never taken lightly. There's a lot of work that goes into getting to this point. If you could just talk about the climate there in Columbus and what led the school board and the leaders there at the Columbus School District to go down this path and realize that, okay, you know, an operational referendum is what we need to do in order to keep the lights on and keep the day-to-day operations going at Columbus.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, it's something that's definitely not taken lightly. You don't bring it forward without having good information and good data and a good understanding. We feel that there's really three big areas that kind of led us down this road. Really, school funding challenges, just basically from a revenue limit factor. A revenue limit is the amount of revenue that a school district can bring in each year. It's maxed out based on state law. And in order to go over that, you know, you have to take it to the voters.
Right.
The second part, state budget, has been a challenge. And then finally, as most people have felt, inflation has created to this challenge as well. We believe that, talking before the show, we're on the brink of greatness. And I use that word greatness cautiously, but we really do have a lot of great things going on with all of our programming, award-winning staff. Our school report card exceeded expectations. Our growth rate was 95.5% or better than the rest of the schools in the state. So we feel we want to continue this positive momentum.
Yeah, and it's something that we talked with the representatives from the Waupun School District yesterday on community comment, and that is obviously what districts get from state aid is such a big component in how they shape their year-to-year budgets and what they're able to do. Obviously, the governor just proposed his next biennial budget just a couple of weeks ago, and now the Joint Finance Committee, they get their hands on that, and that won't likely be finalized for several weeks, several months. So honestly, right now, a lot of school districts don't really know what they're going to see even next year when it comes to state financial aid. So you know, obviously the hope is that that will increase and that you'll be able to get some more dollars from the state, but it still speaks to the importance of having to continue to move forward and look at other options, in this case, an operational referendum, in order to keep day-to-day operations going there in Columbus.
Yeah, obviously we have to use forecasting. We've used the BEAR model, which has been mentioned on the show earlier. Also, we have some pretty good enrollment data and then previous spending data that helps us make these decisions as well. Moving, you know, as we kind of continue to move forward in this entire process, in the end, it comes down to what's good for the kids. And that's what we constantly bring it back to, and what's good for the kids, what's right for the kids. And in the end, these have such a big impact. What does the community or can the community support?
Yeah, and you also had mentioned inflationary challenges, again, something that not just districts, a lot of people in the community have faced over the last couple of years. And it's something that also should be important to note when we talk about referendums, because if you look 5-10 years ago, the cost of being able to afford some of these things have changed mm-hmm. so much. And obviously state aid and the revenues aren't always keeping up with the costs for busing, transportation, other programs and offerings that the school district can provide. I noticed something that the Dodgeland School District sent out just a couple of days ago, and they made a mention that if revenue or state aid had kept up with inflation, that they would not need to go to operational referendum. So this is such a big component for a lot of school districts when they are discussing, all right, should we go to a referendum?
Right. Originally, when the funding formula or revenue limits were developed in 1993, they were brought in that they were supposed to continue to keep pace and match inflation. About 15 years ago, at the end of the 2000s, they decoupled the two, and that's where it kind of separated, where it no longer kept up with inflation. The impact that it's had on us as a district, utilities right now is up 51.5% compared to 2020. Now, we do have to add in the fact we have added more space with the capital referendum. So we want to be straightforward with that. Special education costs are up as well, about 35% since 2020. And then, as you mentioned, transportation costs up 33%. And most of that is inflation-based.
How has, another big component of what school districts do get in terms of financial support from the state ties into enrollment. And how has enrollment been at the Columbus School District for the last couple of years?
Right. We're maintaining steady, yeah, but slightly declining. We look to decline, if you look out about a handful of years, by about 50 to 60 students. So that definitely does have an impact, and that's less revenue that would be coming in as well. Open enrollment-wise, we tend to be just above the positive mark. Anytime that we could bring in more open enrollment students, that helps as well. But we are above positive, but just barely positive right now.
We're with Columbus School District Superintendent Jake Flood here on Community Comment, discussing an operational referendum that will be on the April 1st ballot, just a little over a month away from our today's date. And Jake, when it comes to a lot of these challenges that we just highlighted, that not just Columbus is facing, a lot of school districts face, how has been Columbus's way of handling these challenges? And obviously, referendum is never the first spot that a lot of districts look through and say, hey, this is where we address these problems. They obviously look at other ways to be able to address these issues. And how has Columbus gone about doing so over the last couple of years?
Sure. We took a look at it when we arrived 3 years ago. It was on our radar. But really, there have been steps that have been implemented. If you look over the past 5 years, we've reduced by about 12% our expenses. Also, just over the last 2 years, we've reduced by 10 FTEs. Now, that was all done through attrition. So if somebody resigns or somebody retires, we didn't fill the position. It means realigning what some of our staff are doing or teaching. Also, we did utilize ESSER funds for a portion of time in the 2020s. ESSER funds were provided instead of raising the revenue limit, which it was fine at the time, but it also created a financial challenge when ESSER funds are no longer there. This year, we brought forward to the board, and the board did approve a deficit budget. And the reason that we were able to do that is administration and the boards prior to my time there had our fund balance in a very good place, but continuously to run a deficit budget, that's not sustainable, yeah, and you can't continue to do that.
Yeah. Obviously now, we sit here today with, the language has been approved. The referendum will be on the April ballot there in the Columbus School District. Let's talk to the specifics. What are you looking to exceed the revenue limits by? And we'll then dive into some of the tax impacts that could potentially have if approved by voters.
Sure. We're looking for a four-year referendum, and that referendum is going to be for $1.75 million for each of the year from the entire tax base. We decided that non-recurring was the way for us to go. And the reason for that was those 4 years gets us through two biennial budgets. Mm-hmm. It allows us to forecast and get a better pulse on where things are at that time moving forward.
Right. And then obviously the funds will be used to support day-to-day operations. And maybe this is a good time to just sort of dive into exactly what will be impacted with the if this referendum is approved by voters.
Yeah, there's been this question has been asked two different ways. Where will you focus the funding, or what might we be losing if a referendum doesn't pass. So essentially, it's the same topic, just asked a different way. Really supporting the educational programming. When we talk about the educational programming, we're talking curriculars and co-curriculars. It's not about adding. It's about maintaining and continuing. Retaining our high-quality staff. I think as anybody who has been in education knows, it's the people inside of the building that makes things go. Very proud we have a great staff, award-winning staff in the Columbus School District that work hard every day. Continued to preserve our optimal class sizes, and that's especially at the elementary level. Referendum that doesn't pass, you would see a big jump in terms of the number of kids. Also maintain infrastructure, technology, preventative maintenance, and then school safety is definitely an area. Kind of going back to that previous question, in every department, we've delayed projects and had modifications, and a lot of that came from facilities. And just kind of that had the least impact on kids. Could we push it off a year or two? But you can't also do that forever. Yeah. So some of the funding would be used to bridge that gap. And then finally, last but not least, supporting the mental health needs of our students. I would say about a decade ago, we used that as a buzz term, mental health. And it was real then as well, don't get me wrong. But now in 2025, things are different and much different. And when the kids are in our buildings, we have to be able to provide the support they need from a mental health standpoint.
Yeah, and it that brings up a very interesting point, too, in just how much can change from year to year. Obviously, things 5-10 years ago that school districts never needed to factor into a budget, nowadays is something that is so important, as you just mentioned, Jake, with mental health supports, counseling programs to help students in that area. With Wilpon yesterday, they had mentioned cybersecurity. A couple years ago, that was something that was just a recommendation that districts needed to have backups for and things in place for. Now it is required for many of these districts. So things can quickly change, and something that you didn't have to budget for a year ago is something that you all of a sudden now realize, oh, this is going to cost us hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And where is that going to come from? But we need to afford it. But where's that, again, where's that money going to come from?
Yeah, and exactly. It all comes from the same pie of money.
Yeah.
And you have to give up in one area, you know, to kind of add in a different area. So it is it's definitely a juggling act, a balancing act. And in the end, you try to make those decisions with what's going to impact the kids the most or hurt the kids the least.
Yeah. And maybe a quick tangent here. I just always like to highlight staff and at Columbus. You mentioned just the incredible talent that's there, and just where and is staffing levels at a good place at Columbus right now, or are you looking to bring people in, or where are things currently at now in Columbus?
No, we're still looking to maintain, and as I said, that 10 FTE that was reduced in the last 2 years. It wasn't an easy decision to reduce by those positions, but as we look forward, we would look to continue to stay at the level and not to add those 10 back. As I said, our staff works hard every single day, and the great ones that we have, we want them there. We want to compete from a benefit standpoint, from a compensation standpoint, and then also from a cultural standpoint.
We're with Jake Flood, superintendent of the Columbus School District, talking about an operational referendum on the spring ballot here just in a couple of weeks. And Jake, obviously, people in the district are always curious in how referendums could potentially impact their wallets. And that also comes then with the tax impacts. If it is approved, what could people in that district see if this referendum is approved?
Right, and obviously these are all based on projections. You're looking at about 71 cents for every $1,000 of assessed property value in our community. So for $100,000, the monthly impact, you're looking at about $5.92, which comes out to $71 a year.
Yeah, and obviously it always the dollar impact for what each property owner could pay in any district, in any school district, is based upon your assessed value of your home. So obviously those things can differentiate. So a lot of times it is just a rough ballpark that a lot of school districts, they will a lot of times will give it clumped into like $100,000 of assessed value, $1,000 of assessed value, as you mentioned. So and maybe looking back at, you know, at the 5-10 year history of the mill rates in Columbus school district, what have we seen in terms of that statistics?
Yeah, the last 2 years the mill rate has been the lowest that you've seen for the last 10 years. If you go back to 2021, it peaked at about $10.10, and that was due to the capital referendum. And since then, it's continued to go down. we have on the slide or the graphic that's shown on the screen, a past referendum would bring us back to about $7.58. So that's an additional 71 cents that would be added in. Right now in the area, we are definitely at the lower end of the school districts in the area. It would bring us kind of to the bottom third, I would say, with a past referendum. We currently sit at about $6.87.
And obviously there is so much that can go into discussing a referendum. I feel like we could sit here for over 2 hours and not even get into all the specifics. Is there places or websites or links that people can go to get more information and find out more about the referendum there in Columbus?
Yeah, first things first, I need to give Beth Munson, our business manager, a shout out because she could come in and she could talk. She could fill your entire afternoon segment, but she's done a great job in giving us our projections and doing a lot of the background work on this. But for all of the information, you can just go to our website. On our website, there's a little button on the top. Just click on the link that says 2025 referendum, and you have an FAQ. You have the upcoming events. Thus far, we've had probably about 20 engagement opportunities. We're probably looking for another 20 before April 1st when it's taken to the ballot. Anything you need to find, even past presentations, you can find right on the website itself.
Great. And obviously, being as transparent as possible is so important during this process. Obviously, anytime people see the words referendum on their ballot, the flags go up a little bit, the alarm bells sound. It's tough to always get that sell to citizens, and that's why holding these meetings and coming and doing these appearances are so important. So obviously the district wants to be as upfront and as transparent as possible so people know what they're expecting, what will happen. And I'm sure that's why you're doing all these things, is so you can let the community know, hey, this is why this is important, and this is what would happen if it doesn't get approved by voters.
Yeah, we decided to take on the philosophy from the very start. If somebody has the opportunity to vote, we want them to have the opportunity to be informed to vote. Yeah. And it's as simple as that. And we understand there are going to be people that support the referendum. There's going to be people that don't. There's people in the middle. What I do know, there has been nobody that said, hey, you've given us too much information. No matter where people fall on the spectrum, they like the information because it just helps in their decision.
Yeah, one more time, Jake, if you could just give out the ways people can find out more information, or if they have any questions, what is it, calling the offices down there at Columbus, or how would they go about getting more details if they're interested?
Yeah, if you simply go to Google Columbus School District, sometimes you have to put in Wisconsin. Sometimes takes you to Ohio.
That has happened to me. I've been guilty of doing that. So.
Yep, or www.columbus.k12.wi.us. I think the last slide, if you have that slide to put up on the screen, has a QR code that they might be able to snap with their phone. Perfect. And that just takes you to the referendum site itself. Also, social media will guide you to links as well. We're on Facebook. That's the best way to access us through social media.
Fantastic. As well, you mentioned there will still be plenty of opportunities for meeting sessions that will be held. And all that information is on the website that people can go and mark their calendars if they want to show up and attend these in person and ask questions if they have any.
Right. And to your point, also call us. You can call the district office, any of the administrators, and they'll get to myself or our business manager, and we'll be sure to get back to you. There's no bad question.
Fantastic. Again, that website is www.columbus.k12.wi.us/referendum. If you are interested in getting more information about the operational referendum that the Columbus School District is posing to voters in the April 1st general election, obviously, as the superintendent mentioned, putting WI in there as you search is very important. Otherwise, you will find some other districts that will not have the information that you're looking for. But we are quickly wrapping up our time here on Community Comment this afternoon. I want to one last time thank our guest for taking the time to join us this afternoon. Again, with us here on Community Comment is Columbus School District Superintendent Jake Flood. Jake, thank you so much for coming in today.
No, it's been a pleasure. It's a pleasure to represent our school district, and we're happy to come on anytime.
Yeah, the door's open. We would love to have, hopefully we can get all the districts in at some point, and we'll be sure to invite Jake back and to hopefully discuss other happenings and other exciting things that are going on with the Columbus School District, not just referendum talk. talks, but I look forward to that. And with that, that will do it for today's Community Comment.
Hit a home run with our first Milwaukee baseball bus trip of the season. Join us Wednesday, April 16th, as Milwaukee takes on Detroit. Just $60 gets you a Logan Field seat and deluxe motor coach transportation to and from the game. Bus departs from the Beaver Dam Food Pride parking lot at 9:30 a.m. for a 12:10 first pitch. Sign up today at the WBEV Slumberland Studios over at 100 Bill McCollum Way in Beaver Dam during business hours.
Elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Ever been asked to give 110%? Maybe by your teacher, parent, coach, or boss? Well, I'm asking for just 10%. This is Ed Shellen of Columbus asking you to join us at the American Red Cross Blood Drive on Monday, March 3rd at the New Testament Baptist Church on Dewberg Road in Columbus from 11:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. The average adult has about 10 to 12 pints of blood. The American Red Cross wants just one pint from you, less than 10%. And your one pint can save up to three lives. In your lifetime, there's a 97% chance someone you know will need a transfusion. Go to redcrossblood.org, enter zip code 53925, and sign up to donate blood on Monday, March 3rd at the New Testament Baptist Church in Columbus. That's redcrossblood.org, zip code 53925 for Monday, March 3rd. Be a good neighbor. Give the gift of life.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, six of seven home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit UW.